You are listening to the Biblical Counseling Podcast, where we believe the Bible is sufficient and answers life's problems. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Christensen. This podcast is for everyone in the body of Christ, staff pastor, church leader, caring homemaker, the responsible businessman, everybody. But it's also for my Calvary Chapel University students. Shout out, hello to you guys. All of us are called to offer counsel regularly. And we every day need a word of counsel from the Lord. So these episodes are designed to assist you in learning to give godly counsel. Also, to develop discernment in evaluating counsel that you receive. So it's my prayer that these podcasts, that these episodes will enlarge your vision of the Lord Jesus Christ as a wonderful counselor. God bless you. Grab your Bibles. Let's get started. See you on the inside. Hey there, welcome to the Biblical Counseling Podcast. Today I have a special guest in studio, Dr. Kevin Carson. Welcome, Kevin. Glad you're here with us.
It's a joy to be with you. I have listened to your broadcast before, your podcast, but didn't expect to be a guest. So thanks for, I guess, either trusting me or risking it, one or the other.
Well, we're very blessed, honored to have you. And you know, part of what we're talking about today is we're making sure people, our listeners, that the IABC conference is coming up, answering life's most challenging questions, and that will be hosted in near St. Louis at Edgewater Bible Church. You'll be a speaker there, and we're part of the IABC Board of Directors. We love our members, and anybody listening that's interested, check out iabc.net and be sure to consider, pray about attending this conference.
I anticipate it'll be a great conference. The main speaker, of course, is a good friend of ours. In a lot of ways, demonstrates in his own personal life and ministry the consistency of helping people who are in life's difficulties. And so I think that would be a benefit to us all to be able to spend some time with here and engage him. And then, of course, IABC directors will be there, the board of directors, and then some of our TCDs, our training center directors, will also be there to present both plenary sessions as well as individual sessions around our main theme. And so once you start getting to that level, we're going to hear from people like you, from Bill Hines, Howard Eirich, and others, right? We can make that list quite long. But I think all of those individuals are going to benefit us as we try to learn more about how to help people as they go through these tough circumstances.
Yeah, and I'll put in the show notes to this episode, wherever you're listening, a link to the registration. As you go there, you'll be able to look at the keynote speaker, Mark Shaw, with the Addictions Connection, and also the other speakers, the workshops. Looking forward to spending time again with you and Howard and all of the guys. I think it's going to be great.
I anticipate it will. We enjoyed our first conference together since COVID last year in Colorado, and we highly anticipate a great time of fellowship, teaching, and just general one anothering, right? Encouraging each other in St. Louis.
Yeah, that sure happened in Denver. You know, I think counseling life's most difficult issues has an answer. You know, when I need answers to life's most difficult issues, you know, I turn to the Lord, and we do, and we point others to the Lord. Hmm. But the Lord has for us grace. And on your blog, I love reading kevincarson.com and the blog that you post, even the 1 minute Mondays, the comfort of God's grace. And then this, in this episode, I'd like to ask you some questions about the balance of God's grace, that blog post you did, that we've explored in your blog, the comfort of God's grace and the, you know, trying to identify the flesh and put it to death. and understanding God's grace as a follower of Christ and growing and being sanctified, you write that grace has a direction, and how Paul described it in Romans 8. Would you give us a few minutes on that topic there and help us understand God's grace? I want to learn, and I know our listeners here, those listening, we're hungry to learn about God's grace.
Well, before we jump into grace has a direction, and I certainly want to talk about that, let me just back up about 30 seconds or so and consider the chapters 5, 6, and 7. Right, when Paul in Romans is developing this new life in Christ and the necessity for it, right? We're all sinners, we're depraved, God has an answer. It's the final Adam who came. He's discussing and helping us understand the wonderful salvation that is through Jesus Christ. And you get to chapter 7, once he has us saved, right? If we're thinking about the story of Romans. He has us saved. We're in chapter 7, and Paul says, you know what? It's this weird thing. In the middle of life's difficulties, there are times that I do what I don't want to do, and there are times when I do not do what I want to do. Right? And I think he's just left scratching his head. And I am so grateful that God put Paul's personal testimony in this, took out chapter 7, you would really miss a great sense that we're all in this walk with Christ. And this walk with Christ, as you just said, it does have a direction. And often in the process of trying to go that direction, we find that our own sins of commission that I just mentioned, you do what you don't want to do, and sins of omission, you don't do what you do want to do. Those kinds of sins get us tripped up, and in many ways, I would say, gets us discouraged as followers of Christ. And Paul is honest with us to let us know that. I have just found that so encouraging as a biblical counselor, the guy who's supposed to know the Bible and live the Bible. I still get caught sometimes in chapter 7.
Yeah, we take our treks through chapter 7 from time to time, don't we? Everybody seems to not live there. I live in Romans chapter 8, but there are times I find myself taking a trek back through Romans chapter 7, and I don't want to stay there. Thank the Lord there's a remedy for that.
Yes, and I think that typical to us and probably most of your listeners, the trek through 7 isn't necessarily a long trek. And sometimes it's just a blip on the screen. But I think it's those blips on the screen that sometimes can leave us quite discouraged.
Yeah.
Not knowing where to go next and not knowing how to get there. And I think that's where chapter 8 is very helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul did say that, you know, oh, wretched man that I am, in the very end of chapter 7. He didn't say, oh, dysfunctional man that I am, as we hear so commonly, or oh, codependent one that I am, or, you know, oh, victim that I am. I mean, he really called it, and it helps me recognize the sin that has, precipitated that Romans 7 experience. And there's the answer. I need to call out to him, because it's not how am I going to deliver? Give me my 5 steps. Give me my formula. It isn't the how, it's the who will deliver me.
Right. So we have this double-sided, I want to serve the law of God, but in the flesh, I tend to serve the law of sin. And that's where in chapter 8, verse 1, he gives this incredible word of comfort when he says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What an incredible blessing that is, to be reminded that in God's kindness, what we would call grace, as you've said, mercy, he doesn't give us what we deserve. And in Romans 3, he says the wages of sin is death. He doesn't give us that. So I would say we would probably all be satisfied with mercy. But instead, he gives us great grace, the riches of his grace. He adopts us and makes us his child. We no longer face condemnation. We have the personal work of the Holy Spirit, and he allows us to call him Daddy, right? Yeah. In that sense, we have the incredible comfort of God's grace, even in the midst of our own sin and the times that we get trapped in chapter 7, usually, again, not even looking for it, but we tend to go that direction. And so as we get there, and even as sinners, we get this wonderful comfort. In other words, you could say we're accepted in Christ by God, regardless of what we're doing. But even in the middle of that comfort, God points us in a particular direction, right? We're not simply accepted in Christ to do whatever we wish as those who are not condemned. Instead, he says we walk in the Spirit as those who are in Christ. Right? We're to put to death the deeds of the flesh, as we get later in the chapter in verses 12, 13, and 14. And so, in other words, grace has a call toward increasing Christ-likeness. Right? So if you're like me, a lot of my counselees like the comfort of God's grace. It's not always, they're aware of the, I would say this, they're aware of the call of grace, which is to put to death the deeds of the flesh. They don't always necessarily want to live it. And at times need to be reminded that grace is more than a comfort. It's a call as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That he even says that there, what you're reading in verse one, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so there's a death to self, a denying of self, the flesh, saying no to natural human resources. It comes naturally to me to just rely upon myself and have a outward form of godliness. Sometimes it, you know, we have to renounce that, and you're right, that's something between the Lord and I. You can probably hide it from people, but you can't hide it from the Lord. And, you know, he'll bring the conviction that we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Don't you think sometimes it's interesting when we start thinking about grace that we think about it in a personal level, right? We think about it related to my sin that I've committed in the past, so I get saved. So we think of saving grace. Yeah. And then we think of the grace I have for today. But I'm wondering if at times we miss the larger picture of grace, where, yes, grace justified and we're grateful. We're declared innocent, no more condemnation. Grace adopted. God didn't leave us as justified and without a family. He adopted us into his family, so that now Jesus is both our brother, according to Hebrews, in suffering, and our Savior. And that God is not just God, the sovereign of the universe, but he's God who is our Daddy, right? So there is a sense in which we're justified, adopted, and then grace moves us towards sanctification, right? It moves us through that process. We will never lose our adopted status. We'll never be condemned again for our sin. But since those things are true, we don't live in our sins. We have a desire to become more like God's Son, Jesus, to become Christ-like. And grace helps move us there. And then the big picture is grace in the future ultimately glorifies us. It alleviates the problem of sin altogether. The power of sin, of course, is broken in justification. The future presence of sin is broken in glorification. It's alleviated. And so I think sometimes when we think about this grace, this sense of grace, we limit it in our mind to, oh, yeah, God's grace saved me. and God's grace does X, right? Whatever that is. But really, grace, if you want to think of it, I know we're talking today with snow. You have a snowpack there, 3 foot, which is going to be melting. You're going to have rivers that are flowing, cold, clear, and beautiful. And if you think about it, God's grace is that river that should be moving us toward Christ-likeness.
Wow.
Right? It's broader. It's much broader than just, oh, yeah, I was saved by grace. At some level, the first David Pallison said this once, and I scratched my head, but I appreciate it over the years. Not just I was saved by grace, but I am being saved by grace. Yeah. Right? It's this continual work of God's grace that ultimately will get me completely saved by grace in this future day.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful description. And I think there was an aha moment where the Lord revealed to me, and thanks for explaining that, the whole part of adoption by grace is maybe a new to me or less emphasized in any of the teaching I've done. And it just kind of, it blew up in my heart, join heirs with Christ by grace. Mm. And that speaks of the church, the body of Christ, the one anothering by grace and entering the family of God. What a beautiful, I know somewhere, I can't remember where it is in Scripture, that Ephesians chapter 2, we will learn of God's grace for all eternity. One thing we'll be doing in heaven is learning, and that's why it's so rich. And I'm learning right now new. It's almost like a diamond, so multifaceted, we'll never fathom, get to the bottom of God's grace. So I appreciate your unfolding that, unpacking that a bit more about Abba, Father, the daddy, the adoption as children, and the family of Christ as well. I think that's a very important part of grace.
Right, because it puts us in a position where it's not simply we're not condemned. If you think, and I'm going to use an example that may date both of us, but if you think about O.J. Simpson, right? I think that was the first trial that was ever televised start to finish in American television. And I remember I was a seminary student, and because of where my hours with California Pacific time being much different than Central, and the hours that I worked then at Bass Pro Shop, as well as going to school, I caught a lot of that trial, at least the mornings of it, between when classes were over through lunch and as I got ready for going to work. And as I watched it, and then ultimately to hear the judge with the jury say he is declared not guilty, he's declared innocent of these charges. Right. And I think about that, and it's one thing for O.J. Simpson to be declared not guilty, and I look at him as a person and say, oh, yeah, the judge declared him not guilty. It's different if he's declared not guilty and then I adopt him into my family.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? That's a whole different sense. It's a whole different position of enjoying the grace that has been provided.
Yeah.
Imagine had the judge, I think Alito, if my memory serves me right, but I could be wrong on that name. I remember what he looks like, but I don't necessarily have perfect recall on his name. Imagine at the end of the trial when he brought down the gavel and says, yes, you're innocent. And he said, and if you'll hurry up, if he looks at the court reporter and says, or the bailiff, hey, bring that paperwork. And while we're here, sign this adoption papers. I'm adopting you as the judge, and I will take care of you and serve you the rest of your life, because not only am I declaring you innocent, but I'm bringing you into my family. But that's a little bit different than our judicial system, isn't it?
Well, it is. And also, you know what, when I remember I was in the military in the Army barracks in Oklahoma watching it on watching the white Bronco, you know, and if the glove doesn't fit, you got to acquit. I remember all of those during, you know, when every time we'd get a chance, we'd go run up and watch on our TV and yet a lot of us said, well, this guy's guilty, you know, and I think that would be me, you know, God's declared me not guilty, but I know that I've sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the amazing grace part. Now, I'm not making any kind of statement about OJ. I'm just saying what we talked about as men in the barracks.
So. Right. I get it. We are guilty. So, right. We'll make it personal. As guilty people, we're declared innocent. And then Jesus becomes our vicarious substitute. Jesus became the one that God poured his anger on.
Yes.
So that now he takes the righteousness of Christ, gives it to us, and then treats us as if we were Jesus.
Yeah.
That's great grace.
Yeah. And I think the verse in chapter 8, verse 3, you know, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned the sin in flesh. It's, you know, he sent his son and paid that price, what the law could never accomplish, the weakness of our ability to live up to the law. We could never measure up. There was no way, no how. It had to be a work of God.
And so when we think of the balance of grace, I think we have to settle on that element that when we hear the word grace, we don't simply think of I'm saved, but we think of that broader element that grace did more and does more than save me, because it's from that foundation I'm going to be able to move forward. It's from that foundation I'm going to actually, I think that foundation is what produces change. It's what encourages, it motivates.
Oh, it does.
Maybe even verse 12, right? When he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, right? Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I think that is an incredible transition that Paul makes in this text, because what he's basically saying is grace isn't simply grace, but it's grace unto change.
Yeah.
It's grace that does have a direction. David Pallison said it, and this goes back all the way to the late 90s, but David said, it's a from to agenda. It's from what we were, and I would even argue what we, not just simply what we were at salvation, but what we are today. Right? Some of your students and some of your listeners today, and the two of us, so I think this is good news for us too, but they may be hearing this and they're in the middle of some sense of struggle. In some area of their life, they're not honoring the Lord. They're not serving him in the way that they should. There's sin that's not been confessed or repented of. So it's a from to agenda. From isn't just simply from where I got saved, but it's from wherever I am today. And God's grace points to what God's going to make us. To change, right? So it's this from to agenda. And reality is, whether it's one of the students, one of our students, or if it's a conferee at one of the conferences, if someone comes this August or one of the other ones we might talk to, or if it's someone in our local churches, you and I both pastor, or it is a neighbor down the street or one of our children or our spouse, the important news is that God has taken us from what we were to what God's going to make us. And we as a brother and sister, we as brothers and sisters walk in that path. Not, we don't stand at destination and say, come on. We are walking in that same from to agenda, right? We are in the unto stage of sanctification, just like our counselees, just like our children, just like our spouse, just like our church members, right? In all those same categories, we are walking the same direction and striving for the same thing as well.
Yeah, that's a really rich study, just that in and of itself, the from to agenda of grace, you know, and it, you know, we can trace that kind of thinking in the scripture from bad thinking unto, you know, the thinking with the mind of Christ. We can trace from hell unto a destiny in heaven. There's a lot of descriptions in the scripture, the from unto, and it's all by grace. I love that. I love that thinking. It's daily living for sanctification. Jump back to verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. And it's almost like sin and death has been pulling me down and back. But a new law that I'm living under is the Spirit of life in Christ has just set me free from that. That it feels like gravity of sin and death pulling me down, but the greater law of the Spirit of life has...
Right. Look at verse 11. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus, which is the life, from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And we would recognize that that life isn't just simply life for tomorrow, but it's life for today.
Yeah.
And it's life that we can rejoice in.
Yeah.
I think we have enough here to consider having a second session of this program. What do you think?
Well, I really do. I think we're going to have to wrap it up here because I think we could keep going for another half hour. So thank you so much for starting us off with what a rich, deep topic that we are discussing, so central, so foundational. I remember Donald Gray Barnhouse in a commentary I read said this: if your Bible fell to the floor, it ought to just flop open to Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 because you spend so much time there. And so I think he was right. That is such a key. I can't, you know, this is over my head, but I'm asking the Lord to illuminate and help me walk in it. So thank you, Kevin, for walking us through this together.
Can I pray for today's listeners, and we'll look forward to our continuing conversation on the next podcast.
Yes. Thank you. Let's do that. And then we'll conclude this episode.
Lord, we love you and we're grateful that you've demonstrated your love for us through Christ Jesus, and that you provide us by grace a wonderful life that isn't just for today, but it's for the future, that we have been justified. We have been declared innocent, even though we know we're guilty and we recognize our own sin. But you didn't just declare us innocent. You adopted us. You made us your own. You invited us to call you daddy, and you treat us. You give us, you made us a joint heir with Jesus. What a blessing. And you give us brothers and sisters and all kinds of them. And for that, we're so grateful. And you didn't just stop there, but you're also putting us on a path from where you found us and from where we are today to this greater, beautiful work of becoming like Jesus as much as possible today, but we know complete and forever perfect in the future day of glorification. And we're grateful for that as well. And we thank you for those provisions. Thank you for the Spirit as it fights against the flesh. And Lord, we pray that we will be people that understand grace and not just the comfort of it, but grace unto change, the call. And may we live carefully facing that direction, striving to honor you. You've done so much for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Biblical Counseling Podcast. You can learn more at jeffchristensen.org. That's jeffchristensen.org. And be sure to share this podcast with a friend. Well, may the Lord richly bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.